My name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
So here we are. We're down here on Beale Street.
Oh, yeah, we are.
And I'm actually recording. I'm walking with Jeff. How's it going, man?
It's going well.
We're down here for a CD celebration party for John D'Amato, and I figured, you know, I'd bring the recorder down here. We'll step over here. Uh-oh. Hello. Yeah, there's police out here, and I thought, you know, I'd bring the recorder down here, and we'd record a little bit of a podcast while we're down here, and, you know, stitch something together. We'll talk with John, and we'll talk with Eric Hughes, who's playing.
That's right. Eric Hughes has already played for about an hour, just opening up, playing solo, kind of doing that one-man band thing with a kick drum and a resonator.
Yeah, and a hi-hat.
Yeah.
He brought two guitars down here. One is the resonator. The other, that one's in G, and the other's standard.
Yeah.
And what's a trip is we're down here for this, but at the same time, within an easy four iron from the FedEx Forum, and you got Game 6 tonight, and we don't know the outcome of it, of course. And this is a closeout game because if they win tonight, somebody's getting shot.
If they lose tonight, somebody's getting shot.
Yeah, and I don't think it's. Hopefully, it won't be any of us. But yeah. There's a bit of a crowd down here. We're having fun, and
tomorrow is Music Fest. Tomorrow's the first day of Music Fest here.
Yeah, so. That Friday is going to be the big thing down here. And this place is. I'm glad we're down here tonight because I've been down here for that, and it's not worth being down here at all.
No, it's going to be crazy. Probably by the time we're getting out of this show later on the night, Beale Street is going to be standing room only.
It'll be assholes to elbows, and we were fortunate enough to park over at parking can be fun, and lo and behold, it can be fun.
It is fun. It's always fun there. They've got music, paintings. It's nice.
Yeah, we wound up parking up on the roof, so we got to ride on the Robert Johnson elevator.
You know, it's a different blues artist on every floor. I think it's...
Have you got them memorized?
I do, because I used to work over there. It's Mississippi Fred McDowell, Robert Johnson. I want to say not Muddy. Oh, shit.
Albert King, any one of
them? Albert King is one of them.
Yeah.
And the other one is... it might be W.C. Handy.
It better be.
It might be.
Well, speaking of Handy...
Oh, it's John Lee Hooker.
Yeah. Before we started recording, we walked over to Handy Park, and we got ourselves a couple of big-ass beers, and we're standing here in the midst of the street now, and this is the quiet before the storm. I mean, there's not that many people down here for a nice night because everybody's in the Forum.
Well, you know, I was just thinking this earlier as we're walking this way. It seems like it's not real busy, but this is a Thursday night.
Right.
It's already kind of bumping for a Thursday night.
Yeah. This is a harbinger of things to come because from this night forward, it's going to be just crazy down here. But for those of you outside the area and want to come to Memphis, this is a good time of year to do it.
You know, I hate that they're going to hear this after Music Fest because if you were thinking about coming, you should have this year because apparently it's not going to rain this weekend.
First time in probably, a dozen years, I think?
I can think of 2 years in my lifetime where it didn't rain during Music Fest.
We say this now. There could be, a last-second spring tornado that just pops up and runs everybody out of the park, which has been known to happen.
The gods of Memphis will ensure that it rains. Or at least threatens to enough to take it seriously.
Exactly. Exactly, yeah. And there seems to be a few tourists down here, too, because... You can always tell them they kind of wander around, looking around, going, what the hell is this place?
Well, imagine a lot of these folks are here for Music Fest starting tomorrow. You know, they're just in town the night before, maybe wander Beale Street, checking out the scene.
Yeah, and this is actually kind of a cool thing that we're doing, for the John D'Amato thing, because you don't know who shows up. Now, we can say this now because this is going to happen, this is going to, you know, be delivered after the fact, but there's a rumor. And we don't know this yet, but there's a rumor that Eric Gales is going to show up on stage here where we're going to be.
And it's quite possible. You know, he's playing, I think, is it Saturday at Music Fest?
Yeah, I think so. Now, here's a little fun thing about Rum Boogie. I saw Billy Joel and Elton John at the Pyramid one night.
Right.
And a long story, I wound up at the Rum Boogie after the show. Who shows up on the Hammond B3 but Billy Joel?
Oh, you're shitting me.
And there was hardly anybody in the Boogie that night.
Well, you know, it's amazing when you walk around the Boogie. It's a lot of, if you don't look up, you're going to miss all the guitars hanging from the ceiling. And you'll be blown away by whose guitars are hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah, because they're all signed by somebody, and they got this little laminated, poster placard type thing.
I saw the Billy Joel one in there.
I was here when that happened.
Yeah.
Billy Gibbons used to be a regular down here.
I can see that. This place is famous. I mean,
Oh, Lord, yeah. There's some stories to be told, too.
It's kind of the spot on Beale for a long time for blues.
It is. Now, I'm standing here facing it. Now, behind me is the great Silky O'Sullivan's. And what's cool about Silky's is that Barbara Blue plays there most nights. In fact, she may be in there tonight. We may be able to find her later.
Oh, that might be nice. I know we've actually got her on our Blues and Blues radio show in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, so by what time this airs, it'll be the next week. Yeah, yeah. So she hadn't come on yet.
May 11th on that, is that right?
I think so, something like that. No, wait, May 11th is, no, that's, I'm thinking of Mother's Day.
No, May 18th.
May 18th, yeah.
Does that sound right now?
I don't know, whatever.
You know, check the website.
We've been drinking, and we're down here on Beale, so, fuck that. those kids down there, the Flippers are down there working. That is like the fourth generation of those kids.
It really is. You know, those kids, a lot of those guys have put themselves in college doing that.
Oh, yeah. The first and second generation of these guys, they wound up in, the name of the movie that was shot here.
The Firm.
The Firm. They were in that film.
Yeah, where Tom Cruise flipped down the street with one of them.
Ladies and gentlemen, the former governor of the state of Texas, Rick Perry, is here.
Yes, don't vote for me ever. You know, I got a story about that.
Now, Rick is here with the... we're doing something for the podcast now. I figured, why not?
Okay,
while we're recording. Rick is with Bounce the Cat and has been pushing the new John D'Amato CD that's coming out, Born Blue.
Born Blue. John was Born Blue. This is about the International Children's Heart Foundation. This is Brian Attilis from the Huckleberry. 724 Cigars is a sponsor of ours. They built a special cigar box guitar for John D'Amato, who's the owner and president of 720, Kirk Kendall. And we're looking for a good night tonight.
Yeah, now you guys did the Havana mix. Was that last night?
Last night we did a fundraiser Havana mix. We auctioned off a few of the cigar box guitars. We raised a little bit of money for the charity. That went really well.
Did it?
Did.
And I've heard that the Havana mix place is just a great, great joint.
Awesome. Awesome.
Because you're a big cigar man, right? Yeah.
I'm a big cigar guy.
Yeah.
I'm a huge cigar guy. That's why I try to mix music with cigars as much as I possibly can. Havana Mix, Rob Hunter is on the board of directors with the International Children's Hearts Foundation. So everything worked out really nice for us.
That's awesome. Yeah, we're looking forward to hearing John's new stuff tonight. I mean, we're thrilled to pieces about it.
John Blaze is on the guitar. I met him in North Carolina. I booked him for a show up there. And out of the blue, turns out we worked together in Connecticut years ago. We didn't even know each other. We worked at the same circuit. So years later, we bumped into each other, and I started managing him about a year ago. And just incredible guitar talent.
How did you find John?
Like I said, I was booking him for a club in North Carolina.
You were just booking him?
He walked in. We introduced. We started talking. We knew each other. We started mentioning names. It was like we ran the same circles for years.
Wow. And it just was like kismet, if you will. And
this whole event has been kismet. We walked into the cigar, to the Havana Mix, because I wanted a cigar. Turns out Rob Hunter is a good friend of somebody I grew up with in middle school who works with Kendall at Cigar Company. So everything fell together. We didn't even know that Rob was on the board of directors at the International Children's Heart Foundation. So that fell into place too. So everything's beautiful.
Well, that's what makes it work. And that's the perfect things to make. That's like the perfect storm of good stuff, you know?
When good things happen for a good reason, you run with it.
So Eric Hughes, how did he fall into all this?
Carson Lamb suggested that we use Eric. We know Eric is a mainstay in Memphis. We know he's the talent, beyond talent. He should be bigger than he is, but he seems to love Memphis. Can't get him out of here. So it was natural that he came on the board.
He'll go on the road. Now you can snag him up. Yeah,
I talked to him. We're gonna work on that.
Yeah, we always the thing about Eric. Everybody, all the musicians right here always say Eric's the hardest working musician in Memphis.
He is.
And he's probably got the most gigs, as any local musician. He's getting out 5-6 nights a week.
If he's
not
playing in a club, he's on a bus.
That's right. Working his ass off.
So, yeah.
So, for John, tonight is the CD celebration. Now, and this is also the first night of the tour, right? I mean, is he on the road from here?
He's on the road here from here. We're still working on getting the gigs and announcing the dates. So, and he's working on shopping the CD, so we can't call it a CD release party.
Yeah.
So we are calling it the completion celebration.
Celebration.
So are you gonna take him all up in the Northeast? You got some dates
and
ideas?
We're going to send him down to Florida. We're going to send him back home to Connecticut for a little bit, a Northeast tour. And he lives in Franklin. He's based out of Memphis because he endorses St. Blues guitars. And his heart now is he was born blue, literally. So his heart is for the International Children's Heart Foundation.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, okay, that's awesome.
That's where Born Blue came from.
All right. So he was a blue baby.
He was a blue baby.
And Born Blue, that's a great story, yes. Yeah.
Now, he recorded this album at Sun, is that right?
He recorded his album at Sun Studio, so we tied everything with Memphis and tried to make this party tonight about Memphis.
Well, that's impressive, man.
I really appreciate you guys coming out and helping us up. You guys have been, as far as the blues are concerned and Memphis is concerned, Radio Memphis is right on top of everything. I've been following Rick for maybe 2 years.
Something like that, yeah. You've been following me for a long time, you know.
It's the first time we've actually got to work together. I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, when we were growing Radio Memphis, you know, and all of a sudden you came into the radar right at the right time. It's like, you know, because the blues show is just over,
coming up on year two.
Yeah, coming up on our second year of the show, and we've always had John around. I mean, yeah. when John introduced himself to us, and you know, what a talent, and the guy's just, he's a fun guy to be around.
He's a great person. We became friends before I became his manager. And he had a manager, that wasn't working, but we were friends, and then when he decided that wasn't going to work out, it was just right to work with him.
Yeah, these things happen. I mean that's just nature of the business, but you know, that's great that he's in, you know, he's in great hands now, and he's got a great support group. And when you're in the business, as you know, it's imperative to have that.
Yeah, and you have to keep your eyes open, your head clean, because when you associate yourself with somebody in the music business, the hardest thing is to disassociate someone.
Oh yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, after being friends with John, I said, okay, I can work with you, this is good, this will work out nice.
Well, that's great. You got a great venue tonight, and yeah, we're looking forward to seeing the set here in a bit.
It's been awesome.
Yeah, that's the Lamb family, and they've been around. You got this joint. You got Blues Hall down there, then the Tap Room. So, and King's Palace, I think they're part of as well. So,
I love Memphis. I'm going to move here.
You should.
I'm going to run for mayor.
Yeah. When are we going to get you and John to move down here?
Well, John's almost ready to move here.
He's been threatening to move here for about a year and a half now.
He's spending so much time here. He's ready to move here.
Yeah, because he does play a lot here. And you know, Nashville, not to take it away from their scene, I mean, it's a little different, but there's not that many blues artists there.
Here?
In Nashville.
Oh, Nashville. His first CD that he recorded, if you listen to it, it's very twangy. It's got that Hellcaster feel to it.
Yeah, it does.
And
this
thing, the reason he came to Sun Studio, because he said, I wanted to capture more of the blues in me. So that's why this CD we recorded here.
So did he get to stand on the X when he was recording at Sun?
I don't know. I have no idea what happened in the studio. That's his gig.
We'll ask him that. We'll talk to him in a little while.
First thing I tell a musician when I start working for him, the band is your baby. The other shit, I'll mess with.
Wow. I mean,
I like you for your music. I'm not going to touch that.
Is that your way of keeping yourself out of the band arguments, too?
That is.
Yes. Emmett, and I ain't in it.
You know, you throw up those walls real early in a relationship, so when you say, I told you once before, I'm not getting involved with that stuff.
Smart.
One of John's new songs, you know, the line is, I lost my bass player, and I'm about to lose my wife. See, I'm not getting involved. But I understand the lie. I get the lie.
Yeah, wives are easier to replace.
Around here, yeah,
bass players are really rare.
Bass players and drummers,
in this town, you know, if you get a bass player,
I'm only kidding about drummers.
No, you're not. No, a bass player around here, if he's worth his salt and he can play, you know, four
all
or five,
long.
You know, 7 nights a week he could be gigging,
right?
You know, making a full time living.
So, three or four bands. Yeah.
We saw that up in Nashville too.
Oh, it's tough.
A bass player and drummer, they can play 6 gigs a night for different guitar players.
Usually they run in pairs. Like bass players and drummers hook up, and then it's
because they know. They have a
kinetic relationship.
Yeah.
It goes back to the Duck Dunn and, who?
Well, that was Duck and Steve were the people.
Yeah, Duck. Who played drums with Duck?
Willie Hayes? I mean,
not Willie Hayes.
It came from somewhere else, but it was...
No, you can edit that out. Yeah. You'll figure it out.
I can edit shit.
We're not in the studio. We're drinking. We don't have the internet at our disposal.
We're standing. I got a beer in one hand and a recorder in the other. We're lucky it's getting this far.
I should know this, but...
Oh, yeah, that's the beauty of it, yeah.
Eric Hughes is on right now.
Yeah, he's playing the last half of his set, so... And then we'll get up there and, you know, work the room a little bit, so...
We have a couple guitars to auction off. A St. Blues guitar made a beautiful... Blues Master guitar. It's a $1,700 list value. We're raffling that off. We're not raffling, auctioning that off. It's got the International Children's Heart Foundation logo emblazoned on it. John's going to be playing it tonight, and then we're going to actually...
You know, I talked to the guys at St. Blues before, and they are really developing an international business. They get a lot of guys in Europe that are buying their stuff, and having somebody like John on board really helps that, because, you know, they're hearing the sounds that John's making with those guitars. And, you know, not to take anything away from anybody's music ability, but John makes it look easy.
John does, and he blisters on. He's faster than he looks.
Yeah, he is. He told me, he goes, Rick, I'll teach you how to do some hyper picking. You know, we'll just do something through Skype. And I'm like, are you out of your mind? And he redefined music, you know, teaching through the internet, you know.
He's been doing that for a while. He's been teaching, giving guitar lessons over the internet for a while.
That's awesome. Well, we're going to talk with him
revenue
here a little
streams,
also.
Revenue streams.
Hey, whatever you got to do, you know, you're a musician. As the old saying in Memphis goes, so you're a Memphis musician. Welcome to oblivion.
Right.
Yeah.
I got divorced about 2 years ago, and I lost a little bit in that deal. I said, I never felt so close to being a rock star in my life.
Yeah, when you lose it all, then you realize what you've got, right?
Wow, I'm just as broke as everybody else now.
Yeah. As the other old joke goes, why is divorce so expensive? Because it's worth it.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, use it. Use it whenever you need to.
That. I will use it twice a day.
Rick, thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you, guys.
My hands are full.
Thank you, Rick.
I'll shake his twice.
Yeah, please do. And we're gonna talk with John here in a little while, and
right.
we'll have a big time.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I'm going to sing you another Robert Johnson song. And the story behind this song is that he climbed up on top of a train in Jackson, Mississippi to hitch a ride on the top of the train. And he passed out. And he slept and slept and slept. And he finally woke up in the train yard. And he was here in Memphis, but he thought he was in Chicago. And he woke up, looked around, and wrote this song. And then he realized that, oh, hell, man, I only made it 5 minutes. A long way to go. Long way to go. Stick around for John and the band. They're going to get up here. Don't go nowhere.
There goes a whole crowd to interact with.
Yeah, right.
Yeah?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? Where y'all from? Arkansas. We're in Arkansas. John's from us here, right around the corner. All right.
You
are in the right place. You are in the right place. We got John D'Amato in here playing his album, his CD Celebration. This is John right here.
Hi, John. We're anxious to hear it. We want to feel some pain. Can you bring some pain?
Oh, yeah.
We want to feel some pain.
I got a lot of that.
Bring it. We'll be there.
Good.
Hell, I thought we was here for the amateur midget mafia tonight. That's what I thought we were here for.
You're on the wrong block for that one.
Midget mafia.
You're coming on after me.
Right.
Is there a dwarf throw in there tonight? Whatever, you dwarf throw.
I wanted to try to catch somebody in the knees. I'm just saying.
You Arkansas fellas, man, are tough to hang, man.
Huh?
I ain't from Arkansas. I'm from Missouri. I'm from the Show Me State.
Well, we are ready to show you the blues here tonight at the Rum Boogie Cafe with John D'Amato.
All right. When is John going to crank it up?
He's about to.
In about 10 minutes, I guess. Yeah, yeah.
Sing me a song. Make me want to roll my window down.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have these 7 minutes on. 7 minutes to John D'Amato takes the stage.
Where are you from, John? Franklin, Tennessee.
Really?
Yep.
Who are your heroes?
Guitar heroes?
Yeah.
B.B. King.
Okay.
Played with B.B. Joe Louis Walker. Played with Joe Louis Walker.
Joe Louis Walker, absolutely.
Yeah, I was on his last CD, Hellfire.
Really?
Truck. Yeah.
Joe Louis comes to Helena a
Yeah,
lot.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, he comes to Helena a lot.
He'll be here next week. We'll be hanging out at the Blues Awards.
Terrific.
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine. He's a great guy.
He is a great guy.
Yeah, Albert Collins is another favorite of mine.
Oh,
he's a nice man.
Born Under a Bad Sign.
Yeah,
you're going to crank that one?
I got my own CD I'm doing tonight. I'm rocking, man.
Huh?
I got my own CD. I'm doing my own original stuff.
No, that's Albert King.
Albert
Collins is
Talking
Drunk
Blues. That's Talking Woman Blues. That's when Albert Collins.
Who did the CD with Steve Gray when they were were young? They talked back and forth.
That was Albert King.
That was Albert King.
Right.
Okay. All right. Is that not a great
All
record?
The Kings.
Is that
oh,
not
yeah.
a great record?
Oh, yeah. By all means. One of the best.
Yeah. I have worked security at the main stage at Helena for probably the last 10 years. Yeah, I've done that. I'm down there. I've got to meet those guys.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Yeah. Are you coming back to Helena this year?
Am I?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's on the schedule or not. I have to check with Rick, my manager. He just takes care of all of it.
Well, we look forward to hearing.
Well, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
John, you thrilled, my man?
I'm thrilled, Rick. Really am.
I just learned that you were actually a blue baby.
Yeah, I was.
You were born blue.
I was born blue. That's the whole idea behind the CD. Born blue.
That's awesome.
Will this work?
So the International Children's Heart Foundation, this is a special thing for you.
Yeah, big time. When some of the people were talking last night about, actually Rob, the owner of Havana Mix, was talking about his son, finding out his son had a heart problem. All I could think of was what my parents felt like when I was born. And when I was born, back in 1957, they couldn't fix what was wrong with me. So at that point, they told my parents they didn't know how long I had to live. So it was kind of heavy duty. Fortunately, I was 9 and didn't really know what was going on, and they fixed it then, and I'm here now.
Yeah, that's some great stuff, man. And we've been fortunate to follow your career for a while, and we're mighty proud of you in putting this record together. It's been a bit of a struggle to put the record together, I know, because of the Kickstarter and all that. So,
right.
But you got it together, and you got to go to Sun and do it there.
It was awesome, man. It was a major blessing to do that.
Did you stand on the X?
You bet. When I got done with the session, got back to the hotel room, I couldn't go to sleep. I didn't sleep all night. I was so pumped from doing it in Sun. It was like, I actually did it in Sun. And it happened,
Did you feel the spirit of the whole thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Sun record vibe,
It was awesome. It was all over the place. All over the place. And the guys in the band were just, they were all pumped about doing it. So it was a great thing to do.
Yeah, so what's next now? Tonight, you start here. Are you on the road from here?
Yeah,
where are you going?
We're working it up. I'll be in Maryville, Tennessee, at Bracken's Blues Club out that way. Then heading up north, up to Cafe 9 in my hometown. And then we've got to get some more dates up there. They're still working on that. So,
man, like I said, we're really proud of you, and thank you so much, my friend.
Thanks. Actually, next week I'll be back here for the Blues Awards.
Oh, you should. Yeah, the BMAs. Are you up for anything?
No, we were up last year. Joe Louis Walker and I were, but didn't happen. But
well, next year. I mean, because you know, because this record is in the deadline for next year. So you know, hell yeah.
Hope so, man.
Yeah, good stuff on the way. John, thank you, my friend.
Thank you, man.
You bet.
Thank you for being here tonight.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I wouldn't miss this for the world. Are you kidding? I wouldn't be down here unless it was somebody like you down here. Are you kidding?
Well, thanks, man.
Might be a spoonful of water. save you from the burning sand. Just one spoon of my 45, girl, save you from another man. Man, life, a little man.
Yes, I was actually born blue. I was born with a congenital heart defect back in the good old days in 1957. And when I was born, they had no way to repair it, so my parents were told that I probably wouldn't make it past 9 years old. Fortunately for me, by the time I became 9 years old, they had a way to repair it. And I was very lucky and very fortunate to have it repaired. The International Children's Heart Foundation, of course, is really close to my heart because I was one of those kids, so we really need to do something for them. Thank you so much.
Here's what's coming up on the next edition from Radioland.
I don't know what you're thinking. Oh, man, not another remote podcast. Well, that's exactly what this is, so suck it up, Buttercup. We're going to get into it. We head down to the BMAs for 2014. Lo and behold, standing there, minding his own business, not having anything else to do, was our old pal, Super Chicken.
Then that one guy, he said, well, how did you learn to yodel anyway? Told him I got hung on a barbed wire fence.
Ran into John D'Amato, and he related this great story about how his record was made.
I'm stepping in shit, and I don't like it, right?
And it's not even yours.
Right.
Yeah. Matt Isbell, ladies and gentlemen.
No, we're podcasting.
Yeah.
All I got to do is put my zoom, zoom, zoom in your boom, boom.
Radio Memphis is an internet broadcasting service provided by PirateRadioStudios.com, Memphis, Tennessee, USA.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Oh, you're recording this?
I am now.
All right, well, yeah, just saying, when you watch those Nashville cats play, there's something different about the way they approach the stage. I don't know what it is. Call it a sixth sense, spider sense, whatever. But it's like they're a little bit more casual when they're up there backing somebody, you know what I'm saying?
Are you talking about John's band up there?
John's band up there, yeah.
They are rather casual. I mean, they're putting on a great set.
Oh, no, they're amazing players. That's the thing about Nashville players. You know, there's a lot of guys up in Nashville that you've never heard of that have backed everybody that are just badass at what they do.
Yeah, those are session cats.
Exactly. You don't have a lot of session cats around Memphis.
No, I mean, you have guys
You got a lot of guys around Memphis that are lucky to get into a session.
Right.
But not a lot of guys you think, oh, that's the guy you call when you sort of just lay down a guitar or lay down a bass. Nashville's full of that.
Yeah, it goes back to what we've heard before, like, you know, through Heath over at Select the Hits, is that, you know, the guys in Memphis seem to be kind of lazy about it.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Not to put too fine a point on it, it's like, okay, yeah, we're going to play, but, you know, I got a gig, well,
we don't have the industry here that they have there.
I think you're right, yeah.
I mean, let's think about it. There's probably 10 times as many studios in Nashville. There's definitely 10 times as many gigs on any given night of the week. There's a lot more opportunity for guys to get out there and play as professional musicians as opposed to, I'm in this band trying to make this one thing work.
There is a difference in that. Union guys are playing Nashville.
Yeah.
The union's not here in Memphis. So it's, you know, it doesn't have that sense of urgency to it, you know?
Right, right. Well, I mean, those guys are all, I mean, like John's band, you could tell just
first
oh, they're pros.
As soon as they step on the stage, those guys are all pros. They're all easily in their late 30s, early 40s. They've all
mastered
their instruments. And they know how to go through and just back a guy. They can get behind a guy like John D'Amato and lay it down so he can do his thing.
And that's the thing. John is such a pro when he plays. I mean, I was watching his right hand, and I'm like, what's he doing?
He's really good at signaling the band. And
You know, when he puts his palm down and says, quiet.
Yeah, and they all just take it down a notch, man. But even when you first introduced him, there was a silent cue. All of a sudden, the drummer and the bass player just kind of kicked in. Keyboards came up.
It was like a nod.
You rehearsed it. It was crazy.
And that's the weird thing about it is that none of this was rehearsed.
That's what I said. Those guys just know what the fuck to do.
Yeah.
When there's lights and a stage and there's, you know, they just know what to do.
And that's why this city, that's why Memphis needs to kind of adopt a little bit of that.
Well, you know, and I think it's, I don't know if it's a catch-22. I don't know if it's because if we had a bigger scene, if we'd have less lazy music. I hate to say lazy, but it's
not. No, lazy is right. Yeah, because they are lazy. They're horrible about promoting themselves here.
It is. That's true. But I mean, again, I don't know. What, it's like the chicken or the egg. Are they lazy because there's not much of a scene for themselves to apply themselves to, or if they applied themselves harder, would there be more of a scene? I mean, I don't know the answer to that.
You don't know until you get out into it,
right?
And that's the thing. And you know, if enough musicians, and you know, we talked about, you know, unionizing to a certain point, and there's the Memphis Songwriters Association, which kind of has that in place, but for the most part, don't act on it. You know?
Big blow to the city, to your point of like, should we have a musicians guild or whatever the hell you call it? You know, when the Songwriters Association bailed on Memphis, that was kind of a shot on the chin for the city. I mean,
oh yeah, big time.
And it was simply a matter of there just wasn't enough space downtown for them to book people to stay for the convention they had every year, so they had to move it out of the city.
But you can create your own demand.
Well, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, and it does become a supply and demand thing. I mean, obviously, supply is here.
Oh, yeah, yes, yes.
Supply is here.
But again, the industry is demand here. Yeah, that's the question. There's only, I mean, again, I jokingly said there's probably 10 times as many gigs in Nashville on any given out of the week, but that's kind of true. I mean, there's only so many venues in Memphis.
This ain't Broadway in Nashville.
No.
Now, Beale Street is like the Disneyland for adults.
Well, and you know, we've talked to several of the guys we've interviewed on our show, Booze and Blues, before, that, you know, once you get one of these Beale Street gigs, you don't give it up.
No, God, I mean, no.
It's premium.
We're standing outside of Wet Willie's.
Yeah.
Eric plays there, you know, several nights a week. And there's a line to get into the joint.
Right.
That serves one brand of liquor.
Which, speaking of which, I'm actually thinking about grabbing one of those.
All right. Well, let's head over there and, you know, the hell.
Hell yeah. Beale Street on a nice spring night right here in Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah, before the storm comes tomorrow. Yeah.
Look, if I was 8 years younger, I'd want to go to Beale Street. I would want to go to Music Fest this weekend. I'm not even crazy about the lineup. Just the fact that it's not going to rain.
Well,
but
that,
I'm too old to deal with the fucking crowds.
You know, that and the cost.
I'm not even thinking about that because I already checked out at the crowd level. But yeah, I can't.
Yeah, the money is a problem. Yeah.
You know, there was that old joke about how you at Music Fest you get in line to get a beer, and as soon as you get it, you may as well go wait at the back of the line for the porta potty. Because by the time you get to the porta potty, you're done drinking, and it's time to
be. Yeah. That's the way it goes. All right, well, hell, let's go across the street and get us a drink.
Yeah, let's go get us a frozen...
Something.
Something to get us in trouble.